I'm sorry you had to listen to this, people. It just happens on this show.
You're traveling through another dimension. A dimension not only of news and song, but of time. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of comedy. That's the red light camera up ahead. Your next stop, the Ed and Bob Show.
Today is 73. It's the Ed and Bob Show. Glad you could join us today.
You're Bob.
And you're Ed.
And you're Mike.
I am Mike.
You are. And good morning, everyone. Welcome to part four.
Hey, there's one NBA game today where Memphis will try once again to put away the San Antonio Spurs, the number one team in the NBA. They've got them down 3-2. That game's at 9 tonight.
You know what the average gas price in America is today?
386.
91.
Is it really? Anyway, somewhere I had the top 10 cities or states.
Yeah.
And number one was Hawaii.
Hawaii?
And yeah, number two was California. Like, okay. And then Alaska was in there somewhere, though.
They were in the top, they have a lot of gas.
That's why I would think.
But you know what they're doing with their gas money? They have this huge surplus in Alaska. Mm-hmm. I mean, millions and millions of dollars of surplus because of the gas.
Right.
Well, they're sharing that with the people of Alaska. So they're happy about all this gas prices.
So, yeah, if you just live in Alaska, you get a check from the government there. Mm-hmm. I forget what it was. It's a couple $1,000 a year.
Right. And they have all these services and everything's paid for and everything.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good, right? All right, it's part four of our program. One text here I want to get on. It says, Ed, check out Langdale Farms in Valdosta, Georgia for tilapia. Well, I'll pass that along to my grocery store person, some place to get... We didn't check tilapia on our Made in America site.
Let me see here.
How do you make fish in America?
You grow it.
Very carefully.
Hold it down there. Hey, I want to introduce our guest for you. It's 10 minutes after 9, Dr. Ed Jones, a friend, my second, third removed cousin. What is it, Ed?
I believe it's fourth cousin.
He wants to keep as far away as possible. He didn't want the apple falling too far from the tree.
It may be the same first name, but I'm telling you, there's a world of difference between these two guys because he's a scientist and I am a
nut.
Yeah, right.
Well, one of us is Ed number four.
Yeah.
I guess that's me.
Ed number four, that's true. I asked Ed to be on the show this morning because he is, you know, in recent weeks we've had the problems with the nuclear energy industry and with the meltdown in Japan and all these things going on and all this news about what's going on about radioactivity. And I thought it would be interesting to find out about radiation itself and how we're exposed to it on a day-to-day basis and some interesting stories that Ed has in this, because I've talked to him about it before, and I thought it would be fun to share that and also take your calls on the air this morning. So, Ed, let me just ask you quickly, are we being exposed to a lot of radiation here because of what happened in Japan?
No.
Is our food supply a problem because of what happened?
Not from what I've studied up on the subject.
Okay, so there's no problem there whatsoever, and nothing is coming over that's going to affect America because of it, correct?
No, the EPA actually has a website, and you can click on the various air monitors, mm-hmm. and what's interesting is a lot of the cities show lower radiation after the earthquake in Japan than before the earthquake.
Okay, so the main problem with the radiation in Japan is just that area around the site, correct?
Within about 50 miles...
And
of the reactors, there's a cesium-137. That's one of the radioactive isotopes. It will linger around in Japan for a while.
Now, for a while, how long?
About 60 years.
60 years. So that's going to be a problem there for a long, just like Chernobyl, right?
So Chernobyl's still hanging around too, right?
Chernobyl was far more devastating. The reactor didn't have any confinement whatsoever, and the core was inside graphite, which caught fire and burned. The reactors in Japan are still within the containment vessels.
Oh, okay.
So now the core at Chernobyl, is it going into the ground, actually, and it's still burning or melting?
It flowed. What didn't blow out to the atmosphere flowed several floors below the reactor, and it spread out and actually went subcritical and solidified finally. They sent a crew in there after it cooled down, and after a while, and sometime in early 1990s, they posted the photographs. I believe it's in National Geographic, and they nicknamed those things Chorons. They looked like big stalagmites, and the guys had like 5 minutes each to be able to go in there. They had reached the radiation limit, so they'd run out, and another guy would run in with the cameras. And these are in one of the National Geographic articles. I don't know exactly when, but I remember seeing that.
So now when we say a meltdown, are we talking about heat like you would melt something on a stove, like a stick of butter? Is it the same thing?
Yeah, fuel pellets in a reactor are placed in these zirconia rods. They don't become radioactive, and the zirconia melts at a very high temperature. It's around 3,600 degrees Fahrenheit. And that's to keep the radiation contained within those rods. But if those rods get too hot, zirconia will melt, and the fission radiation products can be released.
Let me ask you a very simple question, okay? This is Ed you're talking to, and I don't understand a lot about the dynamics of all of this. But if I see a picture of a nuclear reactor, I see a big pool of water, and I see these rods down in that water. I don't see a fire. I don't see how any. How does that work? Tell me just as so someone as plain as I am can understand how looking at a pool of water with this radioactive material inside these rods makes electricity.
Well, if you put enough uranium in these rods, you put them in the right configuration, the neutrons will fly between them, break the atoms down.
Between the two rods?
It bounces between the individual rods. Uranium absorbs these neutrons, they break apart, and they give off a tremendous amount of heat. And the way the reactors work now, they boil that water, forms steam. That steam leaves the building, goes out, and turns to generators to generate electricity.
Mm-hmm. So a nuclear submarine, nuclear submarine.
I don't
want to put that other L in there. Nuclear submarine. The reactor on a nuclear submarine is probably what size? Is it 2 feet wide or is it big?
It's small compared to the big reactors we use, but it requires higher enrichment in the fuel.
Okay.
No fuel that's getting near bomb grade enrichment.
Okay. So, it's not like something we would have at Oak Ridge. It's much, much smaller, right?
That's correct. It's also more difficult for these guys to control the reaction because they're so small. But we got some experts in the Navy. They know exactly how to run it.
They've been doing it a long time, haven't they?
They're the best trained.
Like
in
back
the
in the 50s and things like that. All right, now, you have something on your wrist that looks like a big watch. Describe that for me.
This is what's called a gamma watch. It's a regular watch with a built-in Geiger tube for picking up radiation. It primarily picks up x-rays and gamma rays, so I found it to be very convenient to carry this around the hospitals I work in. In the event the radiology develops a leak, radiation comes out into the room. The reason I bought this watch, I just happened to see it on the internet one day. I had a friend here in Knoxville that I was going to buy his practice and move back from Nashville where I did my medical training. He died 1 year before I completed training of something called acute myelogenous leukemia. That's a radiation-induced leukemia in adults. It's not in children. Children usually get it, but when adults get this kind of leukemia, it's caused from radiation. So I ended up moving to California because his wife had to sell the practice. I saw an opening in Mammoth Lakes, and I couldn't resist going out to the High Sierras. I stayed there a year, and it ended up snowing 52 feet. They had a tremendous number of no-shows because patients from the remote parts of the county could not get to the clinic. So I moved to Southern Cal, worked in several hospitals in Southern California, and it was about that time that I found this gamma watch on the internet. And it wasn't very expensive, like $300. I said, I'm going to buy that. I had it for about 3 days. And on the very first trip, my son and I made out to the Mojave Desert. This thing was going off about every 15 minutes. And we got to notice, and it was whenever we walked across black sand. It turned out that sand's called monazite sand. You can find it in various parts of the U.S. So this impressed me. So I started looking for additional products from this company. It's called Polymaster, and they had a whole series of these dosimeters. So I ended up buying a series of them. Some of them record the data for up to a month, and you can upload graphs of your radiation exposure on the computer.
Let me ask you a question. How did that physician that you were going to buy the practice, how did he, do you think, develop that radiation-type leukemia?
Well, as it turns out, the radiology department was one floor above him. The hospital very quickly learned what kind of leukemia he had. They moved it to the basement and saw the radiation problem for everybody else in the future. But for him, you know, it's too late.
Oh, my gosh.
What about that? So for all of those years, he was working one floor below the radiation department.
And did they have a leak, or it's just because it was there?
There must have been a thin area of the lead shielding.
Wow.
And he was just getting low-dose exposure for years.
Days after days, years after years after years.
Wow.
So how often are people exposed to radiation like that and they don't know it?
That's not really clear. I do know in one of the hospitals I worked at, Southern Cal, every time I went through the lunchroom, this thing would go off, and I'd get like half a chest x-ray. And kind of got me a little concerned. At the next staff meeting, I brought it up with radiologist, and I said, what's directly above the cafeteria? He said, that's the cath lab. And cardiologist spoke up and wanted to know more about it. And I said, well, you got a cashier pregnant directly below this. She's getting all these x-rays. And then the administrator of the hospital spoke up and said, oh my gosh, what do we do here? And I said, it's very simple. We have a mezzanine level in our hospital. Put some lead bricks in it. Well, by the end of business that day, they had lead bricks directly above them, and I never picked another signal up.
Well, wait a minute. Okay, well, we got to take a break. I have a question for you, though, when we come back. It's 9:20 at WNOX. Stay with us. This is getting more interesting as we go.
Swing as I pulled up the driveway. My heart was racing as you climbed inside.
Best choice for news, sports, traffic, and weather. Partnered with WBIR.com. This is 100.3 WNOX.
Do you feel like you never get a good night's sleep? Wake up feeling tired? Does your snoring keep your spouse awake? If so, you could be suffering from a sleep disorder. Many people are unaware that untreated sleep disorders can lead to more serious health problems like heart attack and stroke. If you're having sleep problems, if you have difficulty concentrating or feel tired during the day, make an appointment to see one of the board-certified experts at the Comprehensive Sleep Wellness Center. Doctors Merle Gierish, Michael Eisenstadt, and Chris Nolte are specialists in sleep medicine and offer the highest quality care to both children and adults. Don't let sleep problems put your health at risk. Make an appointment today at the Comprehensive Sleep Wellness Center. Their offices are conveniently located throughout East Tennessee. For more information, call 865-584-0962. That's 865-584-0962. Or go to comprehensivesleepwellness.com. Call today. Sleep better tomorrow.
If you're a State Farm policyholder and have been affected by the recent storms, please contact your State Farm agent. You can also call 1-800-SF-CLAIM or 1-800-732-5246 to get started. We're taking calls around the clock and responding as quickly as possible because at State Farm, our goal is to help our customers get their lives back to normal. Contact your local agent, call 1-800-SF-CLAIM or visit statefarm.com.
Hey folks, it's Ed Brantley here for Honda Morristown. HondaMorristown.com or call them at 581-0987. The area code is 423. Did you know that I've bought two Hondas at Honda Morristown? That's right. Why? I'll tell you. Price. That's it. I mean, you know, there's a lot of Honda dealers around the Southeast, but I found the best price at Honda Morristown, and you will too. I bought my daughter a Honda Civic to go off to college, my wife a Honda Accord. If you want a good price on a great car, go to Honda Morristown. On a 36-month lease, you can get a brand-new 2011 Honda Civic LX 2- or 4-door. Take your choice for $137 a month. Now listen, there's a lot of dealers out there,
But if you want the best price, go to Honda Morristown. I did. That's where I found the best price. I drove from Knoxville to Morristown. You can too. Call them at 423-581-098.
Told me the news, I was feeling that blue. Prince Fella came on the TV.
It's 23 after 9. Good morning on this Friday. Ed and Bob show on WNOX. We're talking with Dr. Ed Jones about radioactivity and exposure to radioactivity. And what brought all this up was, of course, what happened in Japan. Pardon me. And all the warnings going around the world. Everybody out in California buying these iodine tablets. And we got to thinking, just how exposed are we? And I thought about being here in East Tennessee next to the National Lab and all of that. So we've been talking to Ed about some of that. Bob, you have a question?
Yeah, I do have a question. You know, Ed, because the example you gave at the hospital about having that above the cafeteria, and you got a pregnant woman there as one of the cashiers, and you know, just maybe panic. Because you do have a lot of pregnant women that go to hospitals and are at hospitals and such, but do hospitals not, before they ever open or while they're open, walk through and see if there's any radiation going on? Or is that unheard of?
Yeah, they walk through. The radiology departments are very well aware of radiation. Back in 1960, radiologists' lifespans were 10 years shorter than all other physicians. They're familiar with it. On occasion, you get other people like cardiologists doing cath lab that aren't quite as alert as to the dangers of radiation, so they don't shield properly. But you have a department in every hospital called health physics, and the reason they didn't spot this particular problem out at the hospital I was working in is because they had the old Geiger counters, the big yellow ones.
Mm-hmm.
You can imagine what the customers eating lunch there would think if they started walking around the cafeteria with one of these.
I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Really?
For these small watch-type Geiger counters, nobody knows what it is unless they own one.
So is this a concern, though, that I should worry about if I go to my daughter's actually at the hospital today because she had a baby 2 days ago? If I'm sitting in the cafeteria or other places, should I be sitting there wondering, I wonder if they checked out this part?
Generally, they have. I've had a number of family members get sick recently, and I've gone to various hospitals in Knoxville, and I have not picked any kind of signal up.
So what area? Of course, obviously, the radiology department is, would that include CAT scans? If someone gets a lot of CAT scans, are they more at risk of radiation poisoning?
Well, of the hospital procedures, the one that gives you the most radiation is actually radiation therapy for cancer. You have to have the dose high enough to kill the cancer. That's followed by CT scans. MRI machines are safe. Okay. It's the CT scans. You shouldn't get more than one of these a year. And head CTs give you the most radiation. You shouldn't get more than about three of those in a lifetime. We're now required to start recording the total dose so that patients have that dose. Some dose over their lifespan. Yeah. That's a new requirement now. Now, other things like chest x-rays, they're very low dose now, especially with the digital technology. Mammograms are very low. It's mainly the CT scans. Some of the nuclear medicine scans where you do a heart scan to look for blockages, you get a fair amount with that. Mm-hmm. But those aren't done very often. It's mainly the docs that need to watch out for this. Because they're around this radiation all the time, so they should carry a dosimeter around.
I want to ask you to tell us a story, a true story about what happened on a nuclear submarine when we come after this.
You know, my cousin used to go out in nuclear submarines. He was in charge of the reactors. I should have told you that a long time ago.
Hey,
the New Valley Salon and Spa on Hardin Valley Road at Pellissippi is West Knoxville's newest full-service salon and spa. Liza out there has really got it going on. With one phone call, you can call there, Valley Salon and Spa, and get something, a gift for that special person in your life, a gift certificate, so they can have a day of pleasure. Now, guys, is your anniversary coming up? Probably, or maybe her birthday or Mother's Day. You know, if you want to really score some points, get her a gift certificate for no reason at all. You just say, It's because I love you, dear. It'll make you king of the hill. Valley Salon Spa makes it easy. They have the latest styles, cuts, colors, manicures, pedicures, facials, makeup application for special events, massage therapy. They have Swedish pain relief, prenatal, deep tissue, sport, hot stone. And all massage clients get an hour massage for only $45 this month only. Call Valley Salon and Spa. Here's their number, 531-6565, or go to valleysalonspa.com. They have coupons to save you money. Or text Valley Salon to 90210 for VIP access. Valley Salon and Spa, Hardin Valley at Pellissippi. Get her a gift certificate today, and she will be thanking you tomorrow.
So, yeah, or tonight.
Hey!
So, if for Mother's Day, we just call and
you
do it right
over
the phone.
You're done.
Just do it over the phone, and they'll send it to you, and you just, yeah, there you go.
Valley Salon is fine.
All right, we're talking with Dr. Ed Jones, and we're talking about the nuclear industry. And, Ed, let me ask you a question. You mentioned earlier about, we were talking about the reactors that are on submarines, and they've been on submarines for a long, long time. Back in the 50s, I think, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. So you told me a story at lunch the other day about a true life experience with a submarine.
Yeah, this
wanting
was
to be the first one to go under the North Pole. Remember that?
That's correct. Okay. The first nuclear submarine in the world was the USS Nautilus. For the Navy buffs, it's SSN 571. It was commissioned in 1954. And it was commanded by Captain William R. Anderson, and he later became a congressman in western Tennessee. He was given orders to go under the North Pole in 1957 as a result of the Sputnik. See, we were trying to catch up with the Soviet Union. They were launching satellites. We couldn't get one off the ground, but we've got a nuclear submarine, and they don't. So we wanted to get a sub under the North Pole. He tried this twice. Their gyro compass failed in 1957. And then the second time they tried to launch and do this mission, the ice was so thick at the Bering Strait they couldn't get through. They ended up in the Atlantic doing some exercises. They came into Connecticut, and they received orders to go through the Panama Canal, go up to Seattle, resupply, and then go under the pole again, or try to do it a third time. Anyway, as they were going through the Panama Canal, they sprung a leak in the condenser. That's where the salt water comes in, cools the hot water coming out of the reactor, so it turns back into water and goes back in, keep the core from overheating. They sprung a leak in that salt water side. They wanted this mission because they knew the USS Skate would get the orders to do the mission if they failed this third time. So when they got into Seattle with this leak, Captain Anderson ordered his crew to put their civilian clothes on, go to every auto store in town, and buy Stop Leak. They call this Operation Stop Leak.
The same thing you put in your car radiator.
That's correct. They came back with 140 quarts of it was a
bar
particular brand.
Leak.
It was called Bar Stop Leak,
yeah.
Well, they poured quart after quart, and after they got to their 70th quart, the leak stopped. And believe it or not, this sub never developed a leak again, and it did not get decommissioned until 1980, and it's up somewhere in New England as a museum.
Wow.
But they're using this same stop leak to stop that water leak in the reactor number 2 in Japan, and apparently it's working.
The bar stop leak, the same thing we put in a radiator. That is absolutely. And so they went under the North Pole.
They reached the pole on August 3rd, 1958.
Successful mission. Now you know the rest of the story. That's pretty amazing. Bar stop. I tell you, those bar people, that's got to be pretty good stuff, right?
It is. Yeah. It works. This came out of a book written by William Anderson. It's called Nautilus 90 North.
Wow, what about that?
Wow.
All right, it's 9:32. We'll be back here with more with Dr. Ed Jones when we come back right after this break.
When they named you, they surely meant well, but Vidalia, girl, won't you tell me why?
I'm Kylie.
Kylie Niles with your top local news headlines brought to you by Topside Spirits and Wine, Exit 9 off Pellissippi Parkway. The number of confirmed deaths from storms in Tennessee Wednesday has reached 33. Storms spawned likely tornadoes and caused deaths in half a dozen counties. There were 9 deaths each reported in Bradley and Hamilton counties of southeastern Tennessee. 7 people died in Greene County in the northeastern part of the state. Other deaths included 4 in Bledsoe County, 2 in Johnson County, and 1 each in Washington and Sequatchie counties. Officials with the National Weather Service say there's actually a science behind the frantic and intense start to spring this year. Officials say the spring pattern has been characterized by us moving out of La Nina climate pattern. It means colder water in the Pacific than normal. The National Weather Service says it's a busy spring storm season that just won't quit. Another rough year and busy spring for tornadoes was 1974. That year, just like now, La Nina was in place and East Tennessee was likely feeling those effects. Property damage from this week's storms has body shops and insurance companies slammed. Many people are dealing with hail damage to vehicles and their homes. Insurance agencies have been bombarded with nonstop calls. Many customers at auto body shops are waiting up to 2 hours just to get an estimate. There is no word as to the total amount of property damage in the Knoxville area. Your top local news headlines are brought to you by Topside Spirits and Wine, Exit 9, offering you wholesale prices on spirits and wine. On the way home, remember your best stop for spirits and wine is Exit 9 off Pellissippi Parkway. Topside Wine and Spirits across from Weigel's. More news and weather next on WNOX.
Good Friday morning. The weather is brought to you by the Grill at Highlands Row. From the WNOX Weather Center, this is Kim Sims-Thomas with a look at your local forecast. For Knoxville and the surrounding area today, mostly sunny. Winds between 5 and 10, gusting up to 25 miles per hour. Highs near 71. Tonight, mostly clear, mid-40s. Saturday, sunny, calm winds, upper 70s. For southeast Kentucky today, mostly sunny, near 74. Tonight, clear, chilly, near 39. Saturday, sunshine, calm winds, around 70. The Grill at Highlands Row on Old Kingston Pike, now serving Sunday brunch from 10:30 until 2. Keeping you informed, we are 100.3 WNOX.
Your home for Fox News Radio, 100.3 WNOX.
Right now, the Home Depot has 10% off appliances valued at $397 or more. And saving gets even easier with free haul away and delivery that's really free. Just pick out the latest from GE, Maytag, or LG and let the delivery guys do the rest. We're lowering the cost of an easier upgrade with 10% off appliances. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through May 4th, U.S. only. See store for details.
I need mechanics I trust to keep my car up and running, and the Sears Auto Center's got them. They have ASE-certified technicians, so my car always gets expert maintenance from mechanics I can count on.
April is National Car Care Month, and we want to make sure you're ready to hit the road this spring. So come in now and save $40 on a spring maintenance package. Plus, through April 30th, get an American Express gift card worth up to $100 by mail with the purchase of 4 Bridgestone tires. Visit SearsAuto.com for more great deals. Sears Auto Center. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hi, I'm Ingrid G with The Total Package here on 100.3 WNOX. Join me every Saturday at 9 a.m. for your one-stop shop for supercharged marketing. Gain cutting-edge ideas and techniques for today's marketing, connecting your real-world business to the constantly changing world of digital marketing. Check out The Total Package on Saturdays at 9 a.m. here on 100.3 WNOX and also streaming live at thetotalpackageshow.com.
On this Friday morning, as we're talking with Dr. Ed Jones.
Hey, good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Ed.
Thank you all for being with us. Let me give you the number if you'd like to join the conversation. It's 865-243-8255, 865-243-8255, or you can text a question or comment, the Ed and Bob Show. Just text the letters NOX and then your message to 41513. You had a message for Medic, Mike.
I did. Our friend Christy Fightmaster over at Medic, they are... Their community blood bank, of course, is in some desperate need of your help, and if you can do that, we invite you to do that today. Of course, Medic Regional Blood Center needing your help today over at 1601 Ayler Avenue until 6:30 this evening. They've also got blood bank going on 11,000 Kingston Pike behind Pittsburgh Paints until 5 this afternoon. Walgreens and New Tazewell from 11 to 6 today. The New Midland Plaza from 9 to 4, and they'll also be out at the Monroe County Relay for Life at Sequoia High School from 4 to 10. Remember, donors have to be 17 years of age. They have to weigh 110 pounds or more. 16-year-olds weighing 120 pounds can donate, but you have to have parental consent. All donors must have positive identification, so if you can help out, then they can help out our community.
It's 938 on WNOX. With us in studios, Dr. Ed Jones, a cousin of mine, and we're talking about radioactivity. And the industry that the nuclear industry that's in East Tennessee and all around the world. One of the things I want to ask you about, Ed, is Oak Ridge. We at Oak Ridge, you know, you have a closed area over there, a lot of security. You have the National Lab. Back in World War II, the atomic bomb was made there. It's of course, when you talk from someone over there, they're making paper products or something, but in reality, they're probably disarming a lot of the nuclear weapons that are being shipped in here. There's probably a lot of waste that's being either shipped out or shipped in or stored here. What risk are we in this area because of Oak Ridge?
We're minimal risk at this point, unless we get in war with Russia or China. Oak Ridge would be a bullseye because we have a lot of nuclear bomb cores stored out at the White Dwarfs plant. But unless we get in war with them, I see it minimal risk because terrorists, I don't think, are going to come after us. They're going to go after big urban pop, you know, cities like New York. But I worked out at Oak Ridge from 1987 through 1996 when I left to go to Nashville to go to med school. And the radiation that we're getting exposed to at Oak Ridge, unless you worked on the bombs, disassembling them, the radiation people were exposed to is far less than you would get outside Oak Ridge. We had health physicists combing that place with Geiger counters. If they picked up even the slightest spot on the concrete, they would spray paint a circle around it. Somebody would come back later on and chisel it up. But one thing they did have a problem with is mercury. And the only solution with the mercury being in the soil is just to pour concrete on it and just don't bother it. Because if you try to dig it up, it keeps going deeper. But it's viscous enough that it stays put if you don't disturb it. But as for the radiation, I didn't see much of a problem out there.
What about Watts Bar and Browns Ferry?
Well, Watts Bar nuclear plant is actually better built than the reactors out in either Browns Ferry or in Japan. That is a pressurized reactor. The water that actually touches the core, generally, you know, as long as those rods don't melt, that water is okay. It's not going to be radioactive, but as an added level of protection, that water stays within the confinement, and there's a heat exchanger inside the containment vessel, and water coming in to collect that heat to generate the electricity never touches the core. That's not the case with the one in Japan. It'd be all right as long as those rods don't melt, but once it melts, that water can get contaminated. Browns Ferry is one of the older designs. At one time, Browns Ferry did have an accident. We had some workers trying to seal off some cables that ran between two rooms where it ran through the wall. They had to find every air leak and stuff it full of some styrofoam, seal it up. They were using a candle, believe it or not, to look for airflow, and they caught the entire cable system on fire. But fortunately, that reactor had a backup control room, and they were able to keep it under control.
Wow.
You have to have redundancy with these systems.
Well, I noticed that these new reactors are all located around water, like Watts Bar, Browns Ferry, on the Tennessee River. So that water that's being circulated is going out into the river. Is that correct? As waste, or is...
It doesn't actually hit the river. What's happening, the reactor generates a lot of heat, boils the water into steam. Mm-hmm. But that steam, in order to get it flowing in a gradient, you have to be recondensing it to water.
I see.
You got like something similar to an outside air conditioner unit. You got the air cooling that hot freon back down to liquefy it.
And that's the cooling tower. And that's the steam that you see coming out of the cooling tower, which is
that's water from the lake.
It's just water from the lake. It's nothing else.
So that's correct.
Okay. See, that makes it simple for us, because when you look over there and you see that and say, what's coming out of there? Because
look, smoke.
That's right.
What's going on?
What about regular things that we're exposed to every day? You're telling me that tobacco smoke is radioactive?
That's correct. That's been known since 1980. And there's a site, if you search for tobacco radioactivity or tobacco EPA, you can see the warnings. Huh. I did some measurements myself out at Oak Ridge to measure the amount of radiation. Tobacco's got what we call alpha radiation. That doesn't travel very far. It will not go through dead skin. It will go through mucous membranes because you don't have dead skin over the top of it. Mm-hmm. So when you inhale it, it stays stuck to the inside of your lungs. When I measured the amount of radiation, I found that if you smoke a pack of cigarettes a day for one full year, it's equivalent to inhaling 15 smoke detector sources. That's quite a bit of alpha. And according to this EPA report, they believe this is what causes 90% of the lung cancers.
Why isn't there a warning on the cigarettes about that?
I'm not really sure about that. I have theories, but I can't prove it. It could be they're not wanting to scare people because people are so terrified of radiation. They may be wanting to keep the tax revenue rolling in, but that's just one of my theories.
So they just blanket cover them by calling them carcinogens.
Yep. These are pretty much.
Yeah. So what about other things that we eat every day or around every day?
Bananas have a very low level of radiation from its natural potassium-40, but it's very low level. You can eat a banana a day and you don't reach any significant amount of radiation. Most of the sources that we have to watch out for is just getting unnecessary x-rays when you don't need them. Chest x-rays, fortunately, like I said before, it's pretty low level now. It's the CT scans. If you need them, go ahead and get them. But if you want a second opinion, you know, go to another doc, get a second opinion before going to surgery, mm-hmm. you're better off getting those CT scan films, take it to the next doc, rather than getting a second CT. That's unnecessary radiation exposure.
You know, radiation radiology technicians who've been, you know, they might have been doing this for years, 30 years, working with x-rays. It'd be wise if they had one of these watches like you have, wouldn't it, so they could kind of measure what they're exposed to?
They carry the film badges.
Okay.
But the good thing about the watches, I can look down and see what my exposure's been at that point. The badges, they turn in every, you know, 3 months, and the health physics will only get back to you if you've been exposed. I like to know right then and there where the exposure is occurring.
What's going on? So if your office is next to a radiology department, should you check that on an ongoing basis?
Health physics has checked it, and I've never seen a radiology department myself leak. Okay. They're very familiar. They're very strict with that. It's the other services, like the nuclear medicine and some of those other services that sometimes they'll be a little bit complacent, not worry too much about it.
All right, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with Dr. Ed Jones. 865-243-8255 is our number. 865-243-8255 here on WNOX.
I was on my knees, hauled marbles and rocks, and thought twice before I hauled a Barbie doll bed for the girl next door. She tried to pay me with a kiss, and I began to
Clearly, your best choice for News Talk. 100.3 WNOX.
This is Ed Brantley for Team Cornerstone. Now, this is a dentistry system that I highly recommend. I've been going to see Dr. Joe Griffin and his staff for more than 20 years. And when I say staff, I'm not talking about the regular type of dentistry that you might be used to, because at Team Cornerstone, it's a complete, it's everything under one roof. Now, when I say everything, I'm talking about teeth cleaning, I'm talking about implants, I'm talking about root canals, I'm talking about pediatric dentistry, TMJ treatment, oral surgery, even controlling snoring. Team Cornerstone is here to take care of all your family's dental needs at one location. And isn't that great that the husband, the wife, the kids all go to the same location? They get familiar with each other and it works so much better. For more than 20 years, Team Cornerstone has taken care of me and my family, and they will totally take care of yours too. They're located at 8912 Town and Country Circle, just off North Peters Road in front of Best Buy. That's near Cedar Bluff exit off I-40. Go online to whatasmile.com. That's whatasmile.com. Team Cornerstone. Call them at 865-531-7100. 865-531-7100.
First and foremost, the folks at Twin City Mazda want to extend their prayers for all the storm victims. But because of this tremendous hail, you get tremendous savings. Now, through Sunday, Twin City Mazda's having a huge sale from hail.
Hey, did you say Twin City Mazda's having a sale from hail?
Well, hail, yes. Damaged vehicles are now discounted thousands of dollars, but will be repaired 110%. We are letting the insurance companies take the loss. Cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. Going now for less than ever.
Hey, did you say Twin City Mazda's having a sale from hail?
Well, hail, yes. And save thousands now through Sunday. And listen to this. Get top dollar for your trade. Even if it has hail damage.
You're saying I can get top dollar for my trade even if it has hail damage too?
Well, hail yes. The sale from hail is going on now through Sunday. Only. Only. Only at Twin City Mazda. Airport Highway in Alcoa. Hail yes.
On 10 minutes before 10 o'clock, and this is the Ed and Bob Show with Mike, and our guest this morning, Dr. Ed Jones, who is a physician and a scientist and an amazing person to talk to, because I'm telling you, if you ever run into him at a party or overeat lunch at Old Charlie's or something, just sit down and learn, because it's always interesting to hear all the things he has to say and the stories that he has to tell about, and this is just a portion of the things. He's also an accomplished genealogist. Because we're fourth cousins. Well, and this is how I met him, through Farragut High School, too. Our children went to Farragut. But he researched my entire family tree, and it just didn't take any time at all. And I actually know the name of the guy who started the Brantleys in the United States, and when he came from England. I think that's just 1638. And where he landed in Virginia, and the name of the ship, and all of that. Of course, the poor guy had to work for 7 years to pay back the
Yeah, his sponsor was John Seward.
See, there you go. And he worked for John Seward for all those years to pay back the ship fare, and then started moving across the country, and eventually got over into the Tennessee area from Virginia and North Carolina. It's pretty interesting. We'll have Ed back and talk about that and tell you, our listeners, how you can find your family tree. It's with the internet and with what's going on now, it's easier than ever, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I mean, it's really easy, and you don't have to sign up with a service or anything. You just have to put a little effort into it, but it's really, really easy to do, and it's very interesting. It really is. Mike?
Actually, a couple things real quick, and we've got a question off our text that I'll ask you here in a second, but real quick, you were mentioning the CT scans. Not a good thing to have more than maybe once a year.
Once a year, they recommend. Head CTs, you know, three in a lifetime, but if it's life or death, you have to do them.
And just to clarify for listeners out there, CT scans and MRIs, two very different things, correct?
That's correct. CT exposes you to x-rays. They're lowering the level over time, but in order to get the 3D images, it just happens to require a lot more x-rays than a standard chest x-ray. It's the one where the machine spirals as you're going through it.
Yeah.
The MRIs, the only problem with those is if you're claustrophobic, you might have a panic attack inside that tiny little tube.
Yeah.
But there's no radiation exposure in those.
Okay.
The MRI, I had one time, and it sounded like someone was beside my ear beating on a drum
or a
metal can or something. And also had a stress test where they put the nuclear energy or dye in your system. And
that gives you some exposure to radiation. If you do get one of those stress tests, make sure you get a doctor's excuse if you're going to go on an airplane, because you will set their detectors off for up to 3 months.
Is that right? For 3 months?
If it's the thallium stress test, it's 3 months.
Wow.
If it's the technetium, it's less.
When they brought the syringe out, I was a little concerned because it was in a lead container.
Yeah.
So it kind of got me a little bit. Okay, we had a text here.
We do. We have a text question, and they were wondering how you feel, Dr. Jones, about the acceptable level of 50 millisieverts. Is it too low or too high?
That is the amount of radiation level that the Hiroshima survivors, not the ones that were killed when the bomb went off, but the ones that survived, they did have a slightly higher incidence of cancer. When you get up to about 100 millisieverts, there's a definite increase in your cancer risk. As a comparison, a typical CT scan will give you about 10. It's one-fifth of that level.
Wow.
So 50's right at the cutoff. That I wouldn't want to have that much.
All right, let's take a call. Good morning, Susan. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning. We'd like to know, for children that have CT scans, especially at the head, where you say there's more radiation dosage, do they have it said now? Because years ago, we had one for our child, and we were curious to know if the radiation dosage was too high, and can that lead to leukemia if you've only had one in within 15 years?
Well, in children, since they're growing at a faster rate, they're slightly higher risk of developing things, but if the CT is needed to diagnose something that could be more serious, like a benign tumor that would need to be taken out, you have no choice. You have to do them at that point. The thing I was emphasizing, you don't want to do them unnecessarily. If you want a second opinion, get the films. Don't do a second one.
Well, if the child had a head injury and they've had stuttering and they did a CT scan, would that be considered necessary?
Yes, it is necessary. If they've got broken skull bones, some of those might need to be pinned. That is a necessary procedure. CT, unfortunately, an MRI can't be used for a lot of these injuries because it will not pick up fresh blood as well as a CT. CT's x-rays, so the bone fractures show up. MRIs only pick up the soft tissue. So that is a necessary procedure.
Is the CT radiation for children now set lower than adults?
Yes, it is lower. Since their heads tend to be smaller, they don't have to run as high a dose as an adult.
All right. If most children, I guess if they go, do they know whether to run a CT scan versus MRI?
Yes, they do. ER docs use these CTs. They're necessary when there's trauma.
Okay.
Is it a cumulative thing for kids, or is it more a single dosage could be dangerous?
Well, that's a tough question, because if a CT is needed to be able to find a bleed that could kill you, you have no choice. You have to do them under some circumstances. But if you're a normal person, no injury, and you go in and get one just for just to see what you might find, that's not necessary. You're getting exposed
just
to something.
Just be careful, but you'll need to do it if you need to do it.
If you need to do it, the ER docs are going to let you know. Okay.
Thanks for your call, Susan. Good morning, Sherry. You're on the air. We're almost out of time here. Go ahead.
Yes, I heard you all say that the MRI scans use 3D images. Well, does that also qualify for like the 3D ultrasounds? I mean, does radiation get to your baby like that?
Not to an MRI scan. The MRI uses radio waves and a magnet. It doesn't use ionizing radiation that can damage the DNA.
Okay, thank you. That's what I want to know.
We have another question as well from our text line. How about yearly mammograms?
Those are considered safe. A mammogram gives you 0.7 millisieverts. That is 7% of what a CT does.
Okay.
That's sufficiently low enough that you really need to get those once a year. It's not going to give you a significant dose. And I will add one thing I didn't put in earlier. There has been some research that shows that if you get too low a background radiation, that your cancer rate actually goes up. If you get too much radiation, it goes up. The thing is, nobody knows where that ideal amount of radiation is. If you get too low, the theory is it's the repair mechanism for your DNA doesn't get any exercise. And so you're more likely to develop cancer if it's too low. I wish we knew what that ideal is, but we just don't know that. But we do know anything above 50 MSV puts you at risk.
All right. Well, we're gonna stop here. We're out of time. Coming up next is Neil Bortz. Ed, thank you for being with us, Dr. Ed Jones.
I appreciate it.
We invite you back again. Next time, we'll talk about genealogy and get people to check out the families. I'll bring my tree in, drag that thing in from the forest.
It's a big tree.
Well, some of the things in my tree you don't want to talk about. You know what I mean? It's just... You telling me he did that? Are you kidding?
That's what makes it interesting.
Yeah, well, it's kind of funny when the family separates and they go out and marry other people and all of a sudden they come back again. That could be scary. But Ed, thank you very much for being with us. Mike, thanks for another great week. Bob,
thank you.
Enjoy your time. And Shine, thank you so very much for being with us on the show, too. Ed and Bob show. But remember, a lot of things coming up this weekend. It's the end of the Dogwood Arts Festival. The parade's tonight at 7, brought to you by ORNL. Enjoy that and the weekend activities. Have a great, safe weekend. We'll see you back here Monday morning at 6 a.m. Bye-bye, y'all.